8,000 Palestinian prisoners are currently detained by Israeli authorities. In prisons, which major human rights organizations throughout the world have condemned, from Amnesty International to the Israeli human rights organization B'Tselem. According to a 2006 report from Amnesty International, many Palestinian prisoners face medical negligence, routine beatings, torture, and strip searches by Israeli prison authorities. The Palestinian prisoner population, which today numbers at 8,000, includes 400 children and 100 women detainees. Defense for Children International is a Palestinian NGO dedicated to promoting and protecting the rights of Palestinian children in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, as articulated in the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. According to Defense for Children International, massive numbers of Palestinian children are being arrested and detained by Israeli forces. In the first quarter of 2006 alone, some 350 children were arrested, compared to around 700 child arrests in the whole of 2005. Since the beginning of the Second Palestinian Intifada in September 2000, Israeli forces have arrested around 4,000 Palestinian children, 400 of whom are still in prisons and detention centers. In April-May 2006, Samud, a political prisoners' solidarity group based in Toronto, Canada, organized its second annual Free Palestinian Political Prisoners Speaking Tour. Tour participants included Ayad Abu Katish, a child rights activist from Defense for Children International, Palestine section, and Adam Haniya of Samud. While on tour in Montreal, I had the opportunity to speak with Ayad and Adam concerning the current situation facing Palestinian prisoners and specifically child prisoners in Palestine.
The main role of DCI, Defense for Children International, is to defend Palestinian children inside Israeli prisons and before Israeli military courts. So our role is to defend these children before these military courts, which the role of the lawyer in this court is to try just to listen the sentence which the military court want to give for children. So despite the fact that child prisoners is a strange phenomena in the Western community, in Israel against Palestinian children, it's a phenomena there. So since the beginning of the Second Intifada in September 2000, around 4,000 Palestinian children has been arrested. Among them, around 400 are still in prison. Since the start of this year, around 350 children were arrested, compared with 700 during the whole period of the last year. So there is no reason for arresting a child, just for being in a demonstration to express his feeling against the military occupation. It's enough for the Israeli forces to come to his home or to arrest him on this point. During his arrest period, they do not just torture or beaten the child during the interrogation period or the period while he is in a detention center or interrogation center or while he is in prison, and he exposed to many forms of maltreatment and abuse.
Okay. Well, let's turn to you, Adam. Maltreatment and abuse, this seems to be a common reality for the majority of Palestinian political prisoners. The group that you're part of, Samud, works broadly on the issue of political prisoners in Palestine. How do you feel that the situation that I had just talked about in terms of child political prisoners in Palestine illustrates the broader crises of imprisonment facing the Palestinian community in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip?
I think it's very important to point out that the experiences that I had described, the torture, the maltreatment that Palestinian children face, is not just obviously confined to Palestinian children. It occurs across the board. So currently, there are around 8,000 Palestinian political prisoners being held in Israeli jails and detention centers. As I had pointed out, around 400 Palestinian children. Every one of those prisoners, without exception, face some form of abuse. It may be beating as they're being arrested or as they're being taken to a detention center. It may involve being tied in uncomfortable positions for very long periods of time, sometimes hours, days on at an end, which creates enormous pain for the person being tied in those types of positions. It may include sleep deprivation, being exposed to loud noise, the conditions in which they're held in detention centres are filthy cells with substandard food. And they're also very consciously, all of these 8,000 prisoners, including the children, very consciously separated from their families and communities. So it's very difficult for a family member to visit a child in prison. In fact, it's almost been impossible since the beginning of the Second Intifada in September 2000. And even telephone contact is banned. So there's no access to telephones where people can actually call their relatives, even at the case of a death of a family member or something like this. So this constant abuse, the fact that it is something experienced by every single detainee, indicates that it's not random, it's not something arbitrary, it's not a result of poor training or, you know, individual soldiers. It's actually a conscious state-backed policy, a policy designed to really intimidate, repress, and demoralize, demobilize an entire population. So I think this is certainly the conclusion that anyone who studies the work that people such as I do in Defense for Children International, this is the only conclusion one can draw, that this is a constant feature and a conscious feature of the occupation.
Ayad, can you talk about if this is a conscious feature of the occupation, as Adam talked about? Can you talk about the context that creates imprisonment, specifically for child political prisoners? What are the circumstances, what are the realities that lead to this massive imprisonment and the abuses within prison that have been described?
Mm-hmm. The main idea of putting Palestinian in general and children in particular in a prison and arresting them is to frighten the Palestinian community. Yani, for example, in order to arrest a child, yani, it's enough to send two soldiers with civilian uniform to arrest a child during the day hours. There is no need to send 10 military jeeps in order to surround the house of the child in the mid of the night, knocking the door, invading the house of the child, abusing all the family members, and starting beating the child in front of his family. I think the idea is to it's an attempt to break the spirit of Palestinian people. Yani, Israel can do everything against Palestinian. Palestinian can do nothing to Israel. So, yani, at the end of the day, Israel accept that the Palestinian will surrender and accept the occupation as a reality. But on the other part, yani, I think that the Israeli aggression fuel the resistance of the Palestinian people, because they think that their struggle as right struggle, and they are fighting to achieve their rights. So, yani, a lot of Palestinians who have been in a prison without logical reason return back to a prison because they realize that this occupation should be resisted, and that's why the two intifada emerge in the Palestinian community. Yani, how much Israel is trying to practice pressure on Palestinian people, Palestinians resisting this pressure and resisting occupation as a whole. So we believe that in order to have durable peace. Mm-hmm. This peace should be just for Palestinian people also. So I think that the Israeli strategy in attempting to control the Palestinian people, it failed and it will fail in the future because Palestinians are fighting to achieve their rights.
In your work with Defense for Children International, Ayad Abu-Katish, can you talk about some of the things that you have witnessed, some of the things you have seen? Maybe talk about some stories specific to children, political prisoners in Palestine.
Mm-hmm. I think that the story of child prisoners is the same story. Maybe their accusations are different, but whether the child throw a stone or participate in a military action, at the very end, when the soldiers invade the house of the child, they try to prepare the child for the interrogation period. Yani, while he is transferring from his home to the interrogation center, the soldiers in the military jeep start beating him in all parts of his body. So when he reaches the interrogation, immediately they start interrogating him, and the interrogator at the interrogation center used what the child was exposed to as a tool for interrogation. Yani, at the beginning, he told the child whether he wants to continue in the same manner by which the soldiers in the military jeep, or he want to cooperate and deal with the interrogator. If the child refused, so he continue threatening the child that he will use different kinds of torture, or he will bring a family member and put them in prison, or he may bring his sister or her mother and sexually abuse her. And this is a very sensitive issue in the Palestinian community. So they extract confessions from the Palestinian children through these manners. Any Palestinian children confess on themselves and on others, and these confessions is enough before the military courts in order to sentence children according to these confessions. Usually Palestinian children sign a paper written in Hebrew language, which they do not know the accusation which appear in the charge sheet. In the military courts, these are enough to condemn the children before these courts.
Ayad Abu-Katish, former political prisoner and current research coordinator for Defense for Children International in Ramallah. Let's turn back to you, Adam. You co-wrote a book called Stolen Youth, which documents Palestinian child political prisoners. Can you maybe provide a bit of a context to this imprisonment? And what I mean by that is talk about how imprisonment of children, but more broadly the issue of Palestinian political prisoners, affects Palestinian society, and also how is it part of the Palestinian identity? This is an issue that will be brought up time and time again within Palestinian politics. There's a number of members of parliament that ran in the recent election. They actually continued to sit in jail. Talk about this issue and how it's part of the broader Palestinian identity in the West Bank, where you lived for a number of years.
The first thing to point out is that imprisonment and detention is something that is experienced by virtually every Palestinian family. It's difficult to find any family that hasn't had a family member in prison or a close relative. Since 1967, the beginning of the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, it's estimated that around 650,000 Palestinians have been detained. So this experience of arrest, political imprisonment, is something that is common to all Palestinians. It's not something that happens just to a small minority. So this experience in itself makes it very much part of the Palestinian national identity, the national narrative of the struggle. And it's commemorated every year on April 17. just a couple of days ago with Palestinian Prisoners Day. Every year on April 17, demonstrations occur across the West Bank and Gaza, particularly outside the offices of the International Committee of the Red Cross, demanding the release of loved ones of people in prison. People carry pictures of their relatives who are in prison. As you pointed out, in the current Legislative Council, around 10 of the Legislative Council members are actually in prison, continue to be in prison. There are many songs, poems, films, stories written by those people who have been in prison. And it's such an important part of the struggle that prisoners play a critical role in determining the direction of the Palestinian movement at critical points, at times of negotiations. Prisoners will often smuggle out letters or communiques saying what their position is on particular issues. And it's very clear if you listen to the news, if you listen to interviews with people on the street, people will say that the issue of Palestinian prisoners is one of the first on the agenda, that there cannot be any kind of negotiations without the release of the 8,000 prisoners that are currently behind bars. So it's absolutely integral to the struggle. In terms of the effect on Palestinian society, as I pointed out earlier, one of the clear purposes of arrest and the abuse that people face is the separation from family and community. So it really cuts through the fabric of Palestinian society to have people separated for years at a time without any hope of seeing them, without any hope of talking to them. And this affects not just the prisoner, but also the community as a whole. But it's clear also, and this is clear from the research that happens at DCI, that those prisoners who are part of the national movement, are part of the national struggle, are able to come back into their society, to continue to play important roles as part of that struggle because of their political identity, because they understand the political struggle that they're engaged in and the intention of arrest itself. So in many ways, the effects of imprisonment can be or are ameliorated through participation in the struggle itself.
You talked about the prisoner issue being on the forefront of, let's say, demands put forward by the Palestinian people in terms of ongoing negotiations internationally. Can you talk about some of those demands specifically? What are some of the numbers? What are some of the facts? What are some of the specific points that people continue to reiterate?
It's very simple. It's the release of all political prisoners. There's all of the political factions make it very clear that every political prisoner should be released. We're talking around 8,000 prisoners, around 400 children, and around 120 Palestinian women currently behind bars. And these numbers continue to increase each day. One of the practices that has been common through the Second Intifada is the practice of mass arrests, where Israeli jeeps will drive through particular areas with loudspeakers and call for all males between the age of 15 to 50 to leave their houses and gather in a central location where they will be detained, sometimes for hours, sometimes for days. Some of those people will then be taken to a detention center or prison. So this practice of mass arrests continues to this day. So these types of practices mean that the numbers of people in prison is continuing to increase. I had pointed out that already this year, the number of children arrested is around half the total number arrested last year, even though we're only into the fourth month of the year.
Hayed, who has traveled here from occupied Palestine, from Ramallah, to speak on a national speaking tour organized by Samud, a Palestinian political prisoner support group based in Toronto. Hayed, maybe to finish off, what's the central message, the central idea on the speaking tour relating to child political prisoners in Palestine that you hope to convey while in Canada, speaking to audiences? And more importantly, how do you hope to see people getting active on this issue or organizing around the issues that you work on a daily basis in Palestine?
And I think the main issue which we strive to achieve is releasing all political prisoners on the top children. I think that we try to raise the issue of the suffering of Palestinian children inside Israeli prisons, because I believe that putting children in prison is not the punishment in itself. While they are inside the prison, and Israel always try to punish children through different methods for any simple act perform while they are in a prison, for not standing on the daily roll call which the Israeli prison services perform 3 times ago. If the child do not stand immediately for this roll call, so he may send to solitary confinement or deprived from family visitation or lawyer visitation, or the prison authority may impose financial penalties. They take this amount of money from his account in the cantina, which his family deposit for him in order to compensate the shortage which the prison authority should provide for him for his daily living, for the food and to buy hygienic stuff. But because the food is very bad, whether from quantity or quality, so children, despite the fact of the bad economic situation of their families, they buy these ingredients to stay alive while they are inside a prison. So our role is to raise this issue on the international level, and we hope that the international community and the public in Western countries to practice pressure in Israel in order to abide to its obligations to the conventions which Israel is a state party to. For example, the Torture Convention, the CRC, the Convention on the Rights of the Child. And I think there is a need from the Western community to practice pressure in their politicians to raise this issue on the international level.
You have been listening to an interview with Ayad Abou-Katish, a child rights activist from Defense for Children International, Palestine section, and Adam Haniya of Samud, a political prisoners solidarity group based in Toronto. This interview focused on the current situation facing Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails. Today, 8,000 Palestinian prisoners are currently detained by Israeli authorities in prisons which major human rights organizations throughout the world have condemned, from Amnesty International to the Israeli human rights organization B'Tselem. According to a 2006 report from Amnesty International, many Palestinian prisoners face medical negligence, routine beatings, torture, and strip searches by Israeli prison authorities. The Palestinian prisoner population, which today numbers at 8,000, includes 400 children and 100 women detainees. For more information concerning Samud, visit samud.tao.ca. That's samoud.tao.ca. For more information on Defense for Children International, Palestine section, visit www.dci-pal.org. That's www.dci-pal.org. This interview was prepared and produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.